Welcome to Winning Is Not Everything, where we bring sanity back to youth sports by focusing on character development, effort, and sportsmanship, not rankings and trophies. I'm your host, Sean Jensen, former NFL reporter, children's book author, and youth sports coach. My guest today wrote a book I didn't want to read, but the topic was too tantalizing for me to pass up. What was it, and who is the author? Stick around to find out. Team Snap is the presenting sponsor of the Winning Is Not Everything podcast. The spring sports season is just around the corner. Are you ready? Whether you're a coach running your team with the Team Snap app, an admin using Team Snap for business to manage your club or league, or a marketer looking to make noise in the youth sports space, Team Snap has got you covered. Visit teamsnap.com or download the Team Snap app from your app store for more information. I'm grateful that there's no shortage of potential guests for Winning Is Not Everything. I receive multiple emails each week from PR firms pitching clients, as well as messages from acquaintances and friends with suggested guests. But Asia Mape, founder of the awesome website I Love to Watch You Play, insisted I needed to connect with JP Nirban. She was right. But during an exploratory conversation, JP mentioned a new book he was about to publish, and I sort of cringed at the title. Not because it wasn't important, but precisely because it can, for a lot of coaches, be a challenging topic. His latest book is The Sports Parent Solution: Proven Strategies for Transforming Parents from Obstacles to Allies. Spoiler alert, I read the book and thoroughly enjoyed it. Most importantly, I learned a lot and plan to implement some of the ideas into my own coaching. But in part one of my conversation with JP, we're going to learn about the coach who coaches so many other coaches and the challenges and lessons he learned from his elementary and middle school years. I can't wait for you to hear some of JP's stories, so let's get to it. Well, I am so honored to have with me as a guest today, JP Nirban. JP, thank you so much for joining me today.
Yeah, it's great to be here with you, Sean, man. Appreciate the opportunity to be here and share.
JP, what's your favorite childhood sports-related memory?
Oh, man, that's a great question. And initially, it's just, man, being in the backyard, playing basketball, dreaming. I just remember I would spend, we didn't really have TV growing up where I was at in South Carolina. I mean, I'm sure there were TVs, but we just, my parents didn't have one around us. So I'd spend my days out there just dreaming up and imagining that I was playing in the NBA finals and stuff like that. I love doing that. And where did that come from? It also came from a really positive memory, which was my dad sitting down with me and we'd watch, you know, like the Hoosiers, and we'd watch, you know, the Pistol, like things like that. And he'd take me to games, and it was him sharing his energy and his enthusiasm around the sport of basketball. And so my relationship with him, that connection, that falling in love with the game, and then just the ability to be able to play and imagine, to dream, like that was powerful. Six of seven kids. So big family. My eldest sister had Division I offers in basketball. My other sisters were very athletic as well. There was four sisters. Then there was an older brother and a younger brother. You know, we had a really simple life. These days, it seems like people go on multiple weeks of vacation. We had the one a year down to the beach, you know, and so really fun and entertainment was, you know, on us to figure it out. We didn't have a lot of toys, didn't have a lot of money. Definitely had very few toys. So it was, for me, it was a basketball and a basketball hoop, you know? And for a lot of my brothers and sisters, it was books. You know, there's many of them were valedictorians or salutatorians in their high school class. I was probably on the 50 percentile. Books and study wasn't necessarily my thing. I really took to sports, and they did too. But for me, it was a little bit more intense. My dad, he's from Wisconsin, Ladysmith, Wisconsin, played up at UW River Falls way, 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 way back then. You know, he's in his 80s now. So, but he played when he was teaching at the University of South Carolina, and he'd play every like or two, three times a day, all the way up until his 40s, I think, and still claims he could dunk when he was 37, you know? Yeah, he grew up around the game, had the passion, coached us a little bit, you know, coached me in fourth grade, fifth grade maybe as well. And you know, it was always just on our terms, you know, like he saw, hey, you want to work on it? Yeah, I want to work on it. Okay. And he'd get trash cans out and put big smelly trash cans with steaming hot garbage and 100 degree South Carolina heat, you know, and you'd be dribbling around these smelly garbage cans and practicing your left-hand layups, not just your right-hand layups. And, you know, he just really stressed the fundamentals. And yeah, it was always just a really positive experience.
Which coach encouraged and inspired you most when you were younger?
There's a guy that coached me in the eighth grade, and his name was Matt Watson. And I had great coaches up until that point. There was just a feeling like he saw something in me and he believed in me. And, you know, there's that saying, they won't remember what you said. They'll remember how you made them feel. I don't remember what he said. I just remember he made me feel seen. That's it.
Wow.
There was a culture where there was love and acceptance. There wasn't bullying. And it was so much was set by his tone, the way that he showed up. Mm. And so I think that the feeling around the team was love and connection.
What was the most valuable lesson you learned through a challenger defeat?
You're coming at it with some hard questions here. I love it. Honestly, there's a moment that changed everything for me in sports. And you don't realize it at the time. But when I was in sixth grade, my parents, they didn't make a lot of money, but they really believed in good education and a Catholic education. We grew up Catholic. And so they would really sacrificed a lot for us going to private schools. So we had a faith-based education. So because they're paying money, they said, you got to make A's and B's. Like, you're smart enough to make A's and B's. You're smart enough to make A's, but we expect A's and B's. If you don't, you don't play sports. And so sixth grade, I remember grades dropped. I'm struggling. I don't remember exactly what the situation was, but I didn't make the grades. And so I sat out on that weekend's basketball game. And I was the best player, one of the best players in the city, in this league. We were playing the second best team. And coach was upset. Oh, we need him for the game. And I was upset. I wanted to play in the big game. And my parents just sitting, they didn't yell. They didn't beg. They didn't scream. And there was just like, hey, you chose not to do the work. And so you're not going to play this weekend. Instead, you're going to be studying this weekend. You're going to get this work done. I didn't learn the lesson then. The next year, I'm playing football, American football. We're one game in the season. First game, I have 5 touchdowns. I'm crushing it. And my mom gets this progress report from Latin. We were studying Latin in seventh grade, and I have an F. Oh, man. You know, you would think she blew up on me. No, she just said, hey, you're off the team until you get your grades up. And then she sat with me for the next 3-4 weeks doing flashcards. And slowly I brought up that abysmal 30-40 grade in Latin up to that B. It was really powerful because what it taught me was that basketball was a privilege and that it wasn't something I was entitled to. And it just taught me to be more grateful for it. And because of that, I worked harder. I was more intrinsically motivated than I had ever been. And that was just, it was just hugely transformational. And that was everything with my parents. Like if I wanted to go to a basketball camp, they'd support me. They'd said, oh, this is a great opportunity. This is a really great basketball camp, but you're also going to work and help pay for that camp. I'd have to put the work in the summer. So, but that great thing really changed everything for me. It taught me to be more grateful, more appreciative. And there's little things like that along the path of just my parents' approach.
So did you get it the second time? You mentioned specifically the first time you didn't really get that lesson. Did that second time, it sounds like it started to hit home a little bit more?
Yeah, I don't know what it is these days, but in my day it was 85 and above was a B.
Okay.
And my report card would consistently come back 85, 86, 85, 87. I mean, crazy. You know, I was really smart at doing exactly what I needed to do to make that grade. And everything else is going to be about basketball. And I actually think that's a pretty good skill in life too, is knowing, you know, what's the minimum effort you can give to something and get away with it. You know, maybe that's not, but I think there's something to it. But yeah, I never had an issue with it ever again. My parents never had to get on me ever again about it. I knew the standard and I didn't want to have the consequences of missing out.
Yeah, that's great. Good to learn that in middle school though.
Yeah. And it's a tough thing. You know, your dad wants to be, my mom, they want to see me out there in these games. They're proud of me, right? I have ADHD, you know, and they knew that. I was diagnosed early on, really, really struggled emotionally, mentally in school with focus. A lot of reasons they're going to give me excuses and a lot of reasons to keep me in sports when I'm not doing well, right? Like it was sports or something, that's physical activity, so good for people with ADHD, right? And I work out every day, almost every single day, right? 365 days, I'm probably 360, right? In a year, because it's one of the most important things for me with ADHD. But they also knew like basketball was the most important thing to me. And if they wanted to get my attention, they had to go for that, you know?
So this leads me to the question, and this may be exactly what you just alluded to, but what's something you wrestled or struggled with in middle or high school?
Definitely ADHD was a challenge, having all this energy. And that obviously presented a lot of challenges to being an emotional individual.
When were you diagnosed with ADHD? I mean, did it go undiagnosed for several years when you were, you know, in school in those early years?
No, it was actually so intense, and in many ways it still is and so intense. At the age of 6, I was initially diagnosed with bipolar.
Mm-hmm.
And that was overwhelming for my parents. They started bringing up a few other doctors, and then it got re-diagnosed by a few other doctors as ADHD. So around 6 or 7, and it was a struggle from then on, you know, really a challenge to deal with those emotions, periods of, there is definitely to ADHD or somewhat severe, and there is elements of bipolar feel to it. And it's just the highs and lows. And so you bring that into a sporting environment, which is stressful and pressure, and you have so much high expectations, and it just gets amplified sometimes for certain individuals. And it definitely did for me, especially in high school, because what was waiting for me in high school was my biggest challenge, which was my high school basketball coach was incredibly transactional, demeaning, and he was a bully coach. And that was 4 years. That was a battle.
And how did ADHD affect you first in the classroom? Like when you were younger, was it just hard for you to sit still? What was that challenge for you there? And then what were those challenges like in sports, whether it was football or basketball?
Yeah, I mean, I think the challenge academically was focus on things that weren't challenging me or of interest to me. But early on, I have this obsession. Once I'm into something that is interesting or it's a challenge, I will tear through it. Mm-hmm. So I said I had A's, I had all B's, right? And like in high school and stuff, I actually had A's, a few A's, and they were always in the hard, hard classes where teachers would come in there and they would really push you. So that's my personality. I mean, it's still now, like I'm all about challenges. I'm not a runner, as I tell people all the time, but I've run ultra marathons. I've run 200 kilometers. I've run 120 miles. I've run for almost 40 hours at a go, like just because I got put in my head that I need to go do this, you know, and I'm not a runner, right? You know, some people would say that I'm a runner, but I really honestly, I just don't have the body for it and all that. But I just, when I get put my head, mind to something, it almost is a superpower in some degree. But then when there's something I don't want to do or I don't have interest or it's too slow, it's not challenging. Yeah, it's an absolute battle in school to sit still, especially if I'm not physically active. You know, I'm just so jittery. And then you talking about in sports, it's just that emotional control. You know, it's such an impassioned, such an intensity that when things wouldn't go my way, I could really explode.
What's something you would tell your 8, 12, and 16-year-old self?
Man, these are deep. You're really pushing me here. My 8-year-old self, I would just say, you're going to be okay. I tell myself at 8 years old, you're going to be okay. I think there's a lot of fear, you know, around just being different and having some sort of diagnosis and not really understanding. I tell my 12-year-old self, stick around the people that really love you, you know, and just deep insecurities like a lot of 12-year-olds. And I tell my 16-year-old self, you've got to stand up to him or you got to walk away.
Thank you so much for tuning into this episode of Winning Is Not Everything. Please make sure to like the podcast and subscribe to the podcast so you can immediately get the latest episode. If you have any questions or comments, please visit my website, seankjensen.com, and go to the contact page. You can even leave me a voice recording. And of course, I want to thank my presenting sponsor, TeamSnap. Whether you're a coach, administrator, or brand looking to reach the youth sports community, TeamSnap connects the world of youth sports. Visit TeamSnap.com or download the TeamSnap app from your app store. Until next time, I'm Sean Jensen.